This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. And if you woke up and looked outside, you said, wait a minute, we're in March? Is this March? And there's snow on the ground. I didn't think that was going to happen, but one thing about March snow, it doesn't last very long. It melts quickly, you hope. Although the temperatures this weekend may be in the 20s, they should soon warm up. And that's what we're doing. going to do here in the next couple of hours, warming you up for a big day of sports, as always. Bob Pompiani here. We have Logan Arblaster from Waynesboro University making his debut over here, at least on my show. Is this the first time you've been in that position, Logan?
Yes, sir. It's actually the first time I worked with you and Donnie today, so I'm getting a debut on both ends.
Well, it's good to have you. And you're still in school, I take it?
Yes, sir. I'm a junior.
Good. You don't have to keep calling me sir. I feel old enough as it is. Bob is fine.
Okay.
Whatever you want. All right, Logan will be handling all the calls. 412-928-9370. Again, it's 412-928-9370. Also on Twitter, it's at KD Pomp. Want to remind you, too, that the fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You could visit them at southhillskia.net. And fan text line, always brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our show brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman. You know them. They got your back, not your wallet, especially now when you're getting ready to pay taxes. You want somebody who's going to win money, win cases for you. Those are the guys to do it. And if you're looking around on a snowy day and want to hit some golf balls like I do, and later I will, you got to go down to Nine Yards Golf Lounge down there in Washington County, soon to open another one out in Ross Township. They got some great bays down there, some top-of-the-line technology that makes your game certainly something you can improve upon. So give them an opportunity down in Washington County. 412-928-9370 is the number, as I said. So this is an interesting time of the year. It's not my favorite time. I heard Don on the way in talking about how he loves free agency. Free agency, to me, though, only lasts a couple days. You know, the real big names with the legal tampering period on March 10th, and it opens up on NFL free agency on March 12th, 2 days later. I always get a kick out of that legal tampering because I think tampering goes on all the time. But bottom line is you get a couple of days and then it kind of just, you know, goes away for a while. You don't hear the big names are going to be gone in the first couple of hours, first couple of days to be sure. But then after that, it lingers and then you may get some late additions. And the Steelers have done that for sure over the years. And you could get some good value if you wait in time. We'll see how that goes. The NCAA tournament, we should talk about that because that's also on the doorstep. And the NCAA tournament probably won't include Pitt this year. They have fallen apart. You know, ever since the calendar changed to 2025, 4-10 in that span. And they got a tough one today against number 19, Louisville, which has won 16 of 17. They're ranked now in the country, number 19. They got a lot of stuff going on there. And their head coach, Pat Kelsey, came in and did a wonderful job. And this goes to show you, they were 8-24 last year. Fired coach, need a new coach, bring him in from, I think he was at Charleston. And he had everyone left. When that normally happens, a coach leaves, the players transfer. Well, he brought in an entirely new team, and they go from 8-24 last year to where they are this year, 22-6, 15-2 in the ACC, and have a legitimate chance of winning that conference. So that's Pitt's assignment today. It won't be easy. That's coming up today, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock tip from the Yum Center in Louisville. And then they got a couple of games they should win. They're going to have to win out, quite frankly, in my view, in order to get to the NCAA tournament. Robert Morris. Want to give a shout-out to Andy Toole and what they've been able to do because they certainly have put together a great season. Not many people thought it could happen this year, but, man, Coach Toole's done a very good job. They win their conference. They're going to host a game on March the 6th at the UPMC Cooper Fieldhouse. So you can check that out coming up a little bit later in the week. But we're getting into that time where March Madness will begin, and it's always interesting to see all the teams that make it and the matchups, and especially first couple of rounds for sure. The Pirates will be on the air here at 1 o'clock today, and the big thing today is that Paul Skeens will be on the mound against the Baltimore Orioles. Now, they got, because they haven't done much in the offseason in terms of bringing in bigger names, they have holes to fill. Spencer Horwitz was their one big trade item, and he was supposed to play first base, and he had surgery, and he's rehabbing. He may not be ready to go, and if he isn't, who plays? Well, this kid Matt Gorski has certainly made a name for himself. You know, and yes, spring success should be taken as that, spring success. Except, he's 27, they need a first baseman. He's hitting a cover off the ball so far. It's only four games, but he has three home runs and 10 runs batted in for a ridiculous 2-point-something OPS, something you don't see those numbers. So he's 27, why not give him a chance if they are still looking for options there? Jack Sawinski seems to have found a groove a little bit this spring. Hopefully that'll continue, but they got a lot of holes to fill in their roster when it comes to offense. They don't have a lot of power there, and they're going to need it. And then Henry Davis seems to be off to a good start. I know it's early, but I really hope that he continues this and takes it and translates it into the major league level. So that's all coming up today at 1 o'clock from Ed Smith Stadium in Sarasota, Pirates and Orioles. Penguins are also going to be in action today. They take on the Boston Bruins at 3. Penguins are coming off a rousing win after they got off to an awful start against the Philadelphia Flyers. They had lost to them 6-1 in Philly 2 days earlier. And you're thinking to yourself, then they got to come out. This is Max Talbot bobblehead night. Of all the times that you should come out and play well, it's on that. Because it was the shush bobblehead where he did in Philadelphia and turned that series around. So what happened? They came out stale, slow, didn't have a shot on goal for the first, I don't know how many minutes it was, and they fall behind 3-0. But they dug deep in this one, and it took a goalie being yanked, potentially, that kind of turned their game around. Alex Nedeljkovic got taken out of the game after giving up 3 goals. He was not happy about it for whatever reason. Slammed the door, went down the hall, yelled at a few people. Who knows if it was the coaching staff. Whatever it was, it seemed to work. And Mike Sullivan said that wasn't a negative, that was a positive. That got things going, and he should feel that way. Blomqvist came in and played probably his best stretch of hockey we've seen in one game. Stopped, I think, 21 of 22. They end up winning that game in overtime. So whether or not these results matter remains to be seen. Likely not. They're so far down, they're not going to make the playoffs. They need to determine what they're going to do in goal. Joel Blomqvist has been the guy they've brought up here to play. He's been rather inconsistent. Numbers are not good. But in that game after Nedeljkovic left the game, he was really good. And he had to be really good because they were down and they had to come back and take some chances. And he made some saves. They also have a couple of guys in their system, if you want to look that far down. Philip Larson, who's in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, he got a shout-out actually last night. He's well-regarded. So is Sergei Mirishev, who's in Wheeling. I don't know if any of these guys are the answer or not. It went from a spot where the Penguins had some of the best goaltending that you could find with Fleury, Murray, Gustafson. They had drafted, they had all these guys, and all of a sudden Fleury leaves because of the expansion draft. Murray all of a sudden just disappears, and then Gustafson is traded to Minnesota. So he's now their starting goaltender. Played in the Four Nations. He's a really good guy, but they traded him for Derek Brassard. So. Here's the other thing I want to say about all sports. When you do what the Penguins did specifically, and when Jim Rutherford got very aggressive about what he was doing trying to win championships, and they did back-to-back, and the next year after that had a chance, you're going to give up assets and draft picks in order to get players so that you can win now. At the time, everyone loves that. You still should love that. But there's also a future mortgage payment to be made. When you strip your system of a lot of picks, you're not going to have the system that you once had. You're not going to have a feeder system that makes it easy to go down and bring up two guys and have them move right in and play. The Penguins are in that situation right now. They're trying to restock that. They're trying to do that while still trying to be competitive. That's a hard road to walk. But that's what they're doing. They have a March 7th. That's this coming Friday trade deadline. I'd like to hear what you say at 412-928-9370 about what the Penguins should do. If you're Kyle Dubas, clearly they're rebuilding, aren't they? I mean, it seems like they are doing that, but how much of a rebuild is this? If it's a total rebuild, Rickard Rakell should be traded. If it isn't, and you still think you can win with, you know, what you're doing and play both ways, then he won't be. But he is the most marketable guy they have to bring in some assets. And I say that knowing that he's had a wonderful season, and he plays on Sidney Crosby's line, and I know how much Crosby likes consistency with those line mates. But if you're really going to do this, you're going to have to trade, and it's painful at time, pieces that you really like. They take on the Bruins today, and we'll find out. It's a back-to-back weekend games. They got Toronto here tomorrow, too. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are trying to do something they haven't done in a while, and that's win playoff games, get there and win them. They're going to be in there. Whether or not they advance in series, we'll find out. 412-928-9370 is the number. Let's go to the lines here, Logan. We got Marty in Frick Park first up today. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Hey, Bob, how you doing? Hey, I'm thinking of the Pirates, two scenarios at the trading deadline. Wanted to get your thoughts, what you think they do. I have one scenario, they're 40 and 50. The other scenario, they're 50 and 40. So that's kind of, isn't that kind of what you would think they'd be?
Yeah, they're going to be involved in a lot of games. And I really think their pitching will keep them in games. Their hitting will allow them to lose a lot of games.
So I'm thinking at 40 and 50, Bob, and this is like, the negative Nelly, as they say. I'm thinking they dump Keller, they dump Reynolds, they dump anybody that makes money. Is that too?
Well, here we go now. If you're going to do that, the pitching staff, which I think is going to be very good, as I said, and Chandler may not even be in it to start, but he will be eventually. What are you going to get in return? Picks? What are you going to get? You have to tell me
Keller's newly signed. Reynolds is still under control. If Reynolds is your fifth best player on a contending team, you have a heck of a team. People might look at Keller as a third or fourth starter, which he actually may just be that. So I think they'd have value, and I think they'd sell us on, hey, we're going to be really good 2 years from now, like they do every 2 years or every year, right?
Well, let me paint the other scenario for you, Marty. Let's say they're 50 and 40, and they're right in the middle of this, right? So last week I went a little off tangent here, I guess, and I brought up Vlad Guerrero's name because he hasn't signed and he has 1 year left and he's only 25 and he wants a ton of money. Would you be opposed to trading assets, and I'm talking about their top pitching aspects, to get a guy like that to bring a bat in as a rental player, or would you resist that?
Well, I think people like Tamar Johnson, even Kyle Griffin, who they're gushing about, but let's face it, he's 18 years old. He may end up being, Hall of Famer, but we may never see him. So, people like Kyle Griffin, Tamar Johnson, they may be throwing, I'm not sure if they'd go Bubba Chandler. That's a bit much, but maybe their second or third best prospect. I think that might make sense.
Yeah, it would just depend. They're not one to, first of all, that would be a pure rental because they're not going to pay it. I wish they would because I think it's still possible. But you're always looking for first baseman. They've gone through nine of them over the past 7 years and haven't had much success with any of these people. So why not just go put all your money in a big name, big bat, and move on from there? But they won't. So,
well, Bob, like you say all the time, Bob, they could pay someone.
They could
pay a big.
That's what frustrates me.
$40 million.
There's no reason to think they couldn't, other than you're being pretty much brainwashed into think that they're never going to do it. They can tell you the reasons they're never going to do it.
Good.
No, go ahead.
Has anybody done a deep dive on this television contract? Because Jason brings that up sometimes. That this is really pretty difficult, not just for the Pirates, but the Seattles and seven or eight other teams, the Arizonas. Of course, Arizona had that problem, but Arizona's not signing people. So I guess they have a different mindset about trying to be competitive.
Well, first of all, the TV revenues are very much disproportionate, and they certainly do hurt. The local broadcast rights fees are very different in different cities compared to what they are here, so that impacts them. However, if you wanted to do it, again, I would be looking at the ways to make my team competitive so that I get more people in there, so that people want to broadcast more of those games on a national level. That helps all the people who are putting money into your naming rights. So I have a different vision about what they should be able to do and what they are going to do. But to answer your question, if they trade Reynolds and Keller, again, I don't see that happening. But if it did, I would want players. I don't want guys who are like rated 15th and 19th in Major League Baseball pipeline. I don't want that. I want guys who are going to come here and play, younger players who've had a taste of it, who I can make an assessment on.
Exactly.
All right, Marty.
I'll let you run.
Yeah, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Now it's out to Youngstown. Greg's on the line. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Bob. First thing, I'm not trading Reynolds. I will trade Keller for a first baseman now because we have enough pitching. I'm not trading Reynolds. We have no bats. Is he insane, that guy? We don't have enough bats as it is,
What kind of first baseman do you think you'd get for Keller?
You trade Keller and somebody from the minor leagues. Somebody that has
someone who's blocked in a system who can't get up, but he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, that kind of player. We've gotten screwed on trades all the time. Can't we screw another team and get some of their players?
Sure, they could. But you got to make sure that that player is going to be worth coming here, playing, and starting immediately. That's the way I would look at it. If you're going to acquire him, they expect that from Horwitz, talking to a lot of the guys over. They think he can be that guy. So I don't know. You know, we'll see how that goes. All right, Greg, thank you. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. I think the Pirates are going to be in a lot of games. I honestly do. I think their win total of 76.5 or whatever it is, I'd put it real close to that. I may go over a little bit because I think their pitching is going to be that good. If they get any sort of hitting, any. But it's hard to try to fathom where it's going to come from. They're batting Tommy Pham, sometimes leadoff. I'm not a big fan of that signing. I thought they could have spent money differently. As far as center field, I think Cruz and Reynolds are going to be the two guys in the outfield who hit the, hit for power and give them some consistency there. Other than that, I don't know where you're going to find it. I hope Henry Davis is a guy who cracks this roster and plays. I want to see him behind the plate, and I want to see him play a lot. I know Joey Bart is the guy they have right now, but he's not going to play in all 100 games. If you can figure out a scenario where this guy, Davis, can play, if he's not catching, he's DHing, if he's not doing that, throw him someplace else, enough so he gets into 100 games. And if his bat is going to have to determine whether or not he even gets a chance. If he has a good spring and they believe it and they bring him in, up here, give him his at-bats and see where it goes. And don't just be so quick to get rid of him after a week if it doesn't work well. Sometimes it takes some time. But I think that way when I'm talking about a number one overall pick, we need that if I'm them. If I'm them, I'm saying to myself, we need him to get up here and play, and he has to be a big part of our offense. So I'm not closing the door on that as a possibility. We'll see how it goes at 412-928-9370. All right, more calls on the way, and we're talking about the Penguins, where they are, what you do on the March 7th trade deadline. We're talking about the Steelers as well. They're sort of still looking at a situation where not sure about what's going to happen with their quarterback. Three of them, all of them unsigned as of this moment. We know that Matt Stafford is not going to be coming here, nor did I ever think that was a possibility, but he's going to re-sign in L.A. with the Rams, and that makes sense. So what do they do at quarterback? And also, this draft is coming up in Green Bay in April, just a month away. I'm excited for the draft in Pittsburgh. You're a fan, Logan, right? Can you imagine how many people are going to come to Pittsburgh to watch that NFL draft? And it could very well be that the Steelers pick their eventual quarterback of the future in that draft next year.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible, and it kind of makes me think of other events that were that big, and I remember Taylor Swift came here the one summer or whatever, and you could barely find parking anywhere. I'm sure it'll be something like that, but I definitely want to go down if I can. And
it'll be times
there.
Five. It's 4 days of it. They're going to have all kinds of activities in and around Point State Park and on the North Shore, so it'll be a great time, raising a lot of money for the city of Pittsburgh on top of that. But I'm anxious to see how that goes, and wouldn't that be cool if they drafted a quarterback in the first round next year? And it's somebody that they believe can be their future quarterback. In the meantime, who is their quarterback? 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Give us a shout here until 1 o'clock, and we precede Pirate Baseball, which starts at 1 right here on 93.7 The Fan. Back in a flash. On a March 1st day that looks more like January 1st, a lot of flurries around. At least it's not sticking. It's nice atmospheric snow, I guess you can call it. Bob Pompeiani here with Logan Arblaster behind the glass at 412-928-9370. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, Nine Yards Golf Lounge in Washington County. 412-928-9370. 329 players were invited to the NFL Combine. You can watch this all the time if you want. It's interesting, gathering up all the tangibles that you can. We're seeing the 40-yard dash now. And by the way, Gavin Bartholomew of Pitt was the fourth best runner in the 40 of all the tight ends, although he's still ranked as a 15th overall tight end prospect. So my question when we talk about the combine, how much of your emphasis do you put on this workout stuff versus what you see from a production point of view throughout the course of a year? A lot of coaches love to do the interview process face-to-face, man-to-man, eye-to-eye, and try to get inside a player and ask questions and try to figure out and gauge their passion for the game. All of it is important. All of it plays a role in where they end up drafting and what they end up drafting. 412-928-9370. Got people on the line. Call. We have some open lines as well. Again, 412-928-9370. Simon in Pittsburgh. And Simon says,
hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's up?
So my question was just, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about Schefter saying if he had to guess, he thinks Steelers would re-sign Wilson instead of Fields. Or maybe not instead of Fields, but if Fields chooses to go elsewhere.
Well, see, I thought they'd have this thing wrapped up by now, Simon. You know, just because you have all this time leading up to the tampering period in the free agency. If you let it go to free agency, Justin Fields probably owes it to himself to check out all options. So I would think that if they want Fields, and I still believe he's going to be the guy who gets the job, that they would sign him before then. Now, I know a lot of people think that Russell Wilson's still going to end up here. But again, I just look at age as a big problem here in this. And his career is terrific. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But 37, what can you expect from a 37-year-old? You saw him in action last year. Art Rooney even said so when I talked to him, that age was a concern. If it is, then he's not going to be the choice. But, you know, they got to figure out something here before you go. If you go to free agency, then you're rolling the dice that somebody may not or may do something that you didn't expect, and all of a sudden Justin Fields has an option he didn't expect to get. Who would you like to see?
Definitely Fields. And just hearing that the Steelers would even consider giving Russ anything more than $20 million, it's just terrible, because he did play the worst football of his career down the stretch in those last six games. And is Fields the long-term answer at quarterback? I doubt it. But I'd rather take that chance than bring back a 37-year-old who gives you essentially nothing except for mediocrity.
Yeah, here's the thing. I would rather see a 25-year-old, see if I can gauge something out of him, if I can elevate his game. Number two, you'll probably end up bringing back Kyle Allen as a backup. He was fine in that role. I don't, you know, who knows. But I also think they may, and I hope they don't do this, and I get your take on this, Simon, they may draft someone in the middle rounds, you know, one of those, quote, developmental kind of guys. You can consider Will Howard to be one of those. I know that Fields Yates somehow in his last mock had Jackson Dart going to the Steelers at 21, first overall for them. I would not do that. He's a decent prospect potentially, but he's not a first-round pick to me. Quinn Ewers, all of them. Jalen Milroe, who else can you mention? Kyle McCord, all those guys, they're going to find themselves in the middle of it. Would you use a pick on one of those guys as a developmental quarterback, or would you just go out and get, you know, take care of other positions that need to be dealt with?
Well, I would definitely re-sign Fields. And if they took a QB like Dart in the first round, I think that would definitely be a reach. I wouldn't like that at all. But if they did take Howard or Milroe, maybe third or the fourth, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because you know, maybe you do want to go and try to get someone who could end up being like a Dak or a Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins that you get in the middle rounds. But yet, you know, again, it's not a good quarterback class. And, you know, if you want to spend those picks on running back or receiver or bigger needs that I think this draft class is better at, I think that would probably be the better move.
Right. You can have a Dak Prescott scenario. You can also have, you know, a Mason Rudolph scenario. You can have a Dennis Dixon scenario. A lot of those guys in the middle of the draft don't end up doing much other than becoming backup. So if you feel like, you know, you're going to sign Fields and maybe next year you would delve into the drafting of a quarterback, then I would use other picks for other things and try to load up on my weaknesses. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works. But at 21, I agree with you. Jackson Dart should not be their choice at 21. At least that's what I think. All right, Matt.
Yeah,
thanks, Simon. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. The Munhall Flash joins us on line number two. What's up, Flash?
Hey, Pomp, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Tell the family I said hi.
Will do.
Linda. Yeah, and I want Fields. That's all I want. I don't want Wilson. He's too old. He's too short. Fields is a guy. I mean, look, he started 4-2, and then they pulled that crap. Who knows what he would have been after 4-2 if they'd have kept him in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think looking back in hindsight, Flash, you'd rather have him have a whole year under his belt. They made a change at the time. It was a good move, you thought, because Wilson won right off the bat and looked pretty good, and then all of a sudden things changed at the end.
No, he's a man. 4-2, all right, give him a shot a whole year. I would trade Watt to get something good. Let him go to a Super Bowl contender. He deserves it.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. They've already pretty much stated they're going to try to sign him longer term. And you wonder that, you know, the number on that will probably be a 4-year, $128 million deal. Now, all due respect, T.J. Watt's Hall of Famer. He's already earned that status, I think. But how much football does he realistically have left? And I know if you talk to him and you watch him work, he'll think a lot. But it's just a natural concern if you're a football general manager, scout, analyst, that at some point there's a drop-off at these positions. It's not easy to maintain the way they work and what they do. So
you're right.
You're banking on that.
You gotta get a number one for Pickens. Get him out of here. He's nothing but disease.
Well, all right, Flash, thanks for the call. Listen, he has a lot of talent. That's the intriguing thing. The question is, has he matured enough to earn that sort of thing? And I think that's what they're looking for. And the way to test him is to make him come back this year without a contract so that he knows he has 1 year left and then see what he does with that 1 year. It's in his best interest to have his best season. And then if that happens, you can re-engage him or franchise tag him if you believe. But I would rather see before I invest, you know, $25 to $30 million a year on a wide receiver who I still have questions on. I don't know if I want to take that gamble right now. You know, they've brought in guys and they've given contracts. Who am I thinking of? Johnson. He got, what did he get? I'm trying to think of the numbers off the top of my head. It was like 3 years, $36 million. And then it ends up, you know, he's not here. Juju Smith-Schuster, same kind of situation. Long-term, he's not here. So many others fall in that category. So I would think that before they give him the kind of money that he wants, he's going to have to show that not only will he have a big year and score a lot of touchdowns and be big in the red zone, but he's also going to have to elevate his maturity level, and that's just the way it is. And so I would take that chance. Would you, Logan, would you want to see him for one more year and see how he reacts to 1 year, or would you trade him now? I don't know if you're going to get what you think you're going to get for him now.
Yeah, I think for me, watching the Steelers last year, one of the biggest issues was they didn't have a second receiver. So if you're going to get rid of your number one guy this year, it basically means you're going to have nothing left at the moment until the draft. Maybe they could address something there. But I think they should – I would at least re-sign him next – if things go well in this season, he has a big year. If I was the general manager of the team, I would re-sign him. And I think also paired with the fact that they're a team that runs the football so much and they were – one of the worst teams efficiency-wise in doing so. So you have to get better in the run game, and you also have to get a second receiver next to Pickens. But I really don't think, personally, I might be in the minority of the group, but I think that he isn't as much of an issue as people think.
Well, I would disagree with that. I think he has become one, and I think the problem is he needs to just play and, you know, do what he has to do. If you're going to believe that, fine, you'll sign him. He's going to want what he wants. I want to wait and see on that one. I still think players get to a point where when they have 1 year left and they know that they have to, you know, look at Najee Harris. He played very well, I thought, considering his situation. He didn't get the option. If they really wanted to resign him, they should have done it, picked up the option, they could have done it. They wanted to see what he would do, I think. And what they see is a guy who is going to work and beyond all the distractions that come with being not tendered that fifth round option. So, In George Pickens' case, I want to see how he handles things. And if he handles them well, if he has a productive year especially, because I know the talent is there. He's a unique talent. They want that talent. That's why they drafted that. They knew there were red flags there. But they got to make sure that those red flags disappear. And if so, then you can sign him. And if it may cost you more money. You know, that's the gamble you take if you wait. It may cost you more. Let's go out to Harvey on line one. We don't get many Harveys on the show. I think the first Harvey I've had in a long time. What's up, man?
Hey, Bob, glad to be the first Harvey. Hopefully I'm a good call.
I'm sure you will be.
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call. Bob, my concerns, you know, all we're talking about the draft and the history, I know everybody got excited with Omar Khan when he came in and was different than the previous GM, started to spend a little bit of money, started to bring some different players in. But I'm not seeing much from the coaching staff, you know, coaching people up. You read recently about the hire. It's like almost like nepotism with Tomlin anymore. Whoever coached his kids at BC or Maryland or on staff. I just don't, you know, these quarterbacks that we have, you know, I think they would be half decent if our line could, you know, hold a block a little bit. Justin Fields, I think, could be a steal. He's never had the opportunity to truly have more than 2.5 seconds to throw the ball. And we're worrying about Pickens and all these different things. It's just a little confusing to me when you just don't have the pieces in place to really talk. I think they should really blow up the team and rebuild with a new coach.
Well, that's a big leap based on where they are, Harvey. Thank you for the call. I don't think they're going to do any of that. What I think they're going to do, to your point about offensive line, yes, if you're going to discredit Pat Meyer for what happened on the offensive line with regard to maybe Broderick Jones playing right tackle versus left, then you have to credit him for what you saw at center, because I thought Zach Frazier was very good. You'd have to credit him what you saw at right guard, because after they had an injury there, and it was a tough one for James Daniels, they got production out of a fourth-round pick. Now, the hope is that Jones moving to left will help him. We're going to see Fautanu over at the right side. And they still need pieces. They do. But they also need pieces on their defensive line. If you're going to win consistently and offer protection from the offensive point of view and offer consternation from the defensive point of view, where you can get after guys strictly by not blitzing and going after with your four guys, you're going to need more people there. And I think their focus right now is on defensive line, probably cornerback at some point, although there are going to be some free agents and some potential trade situations develop with cornerback. They may be able to take a sort of a Dante Jackson approach. I saw that Jair Alexander is a guy who could be available, and they could do things that way, and you may find it before it even gets to the draft in April. 412-928-9370. We have Joe in Florida. We have Kevin in Chicago. We'll get to you guys right after this short timeout. You're listening to the Bob Pompiani Show on a Saturday, a snowy Saturday, right here in Pittsburgh. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let us know what you have on your mind when it comes to sports here on the first day of March. Can't believe it's already March. I mean, we're moving right along here, and man, it goes fast. You know, Joel Nelson, you're behind the... Where did Logan go? I wanted to say goodbye to him.
He's had to use the restroom quickly.
Oh, okay. So you're here a little ahead of time. I see how that goes. That's what happens with college kids out late at night, and then next thing you spend all day at the pot. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We've been getting into the Steelers, the combine. How much emphasis do you put on a combine? Joel, are you a combine guy? Do you believe that just because you run 4.2840, for example, you're going to be a star in the NFL, or do you put more emphasis on what players do throughout the course of their college careers?
College careers and the film and everything. I think with the combine, you can improve your draft stock just a little bit, or you can also lose some of your draft stock a little bit. But I'm sure scouts have taken 90 to 95% from the actual player's film in their collegiate careers.
No question. That's why a lot of guys have decided not to show up at the, or at least not to work out at the combine. They'll do it in their own personal days. They don't have much to gain. They have a lot to lose potentially. Others there, of the 329 players who were invited, they do have something to show. Maybe they come from smaller schools. Maybe nobody knows a lot about them, and they want to. Or maybe they don't like their draft situation. Maybe they're looked at as, you know, a fifth-round pick, and they want to improve that. So they go to the combine and try to make things happen there. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let's go to Joe in Florida, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Good. What's up?
Hey, listen, we're avid listeners here in Florida, even though, you know, I'm originally from Pittsburgh. And there's like this conventional wisdom on the station with all the hosts that, like, George Pickens is just so talented. And that statement within itself is true, right? But we're going on year three or four, numerous quarterbacks, numerous offensive coordinators. Listen, you're never going to go anywhere with a guy like that on your team. And I don't care what they do. And then you combine that with profoundly other problems that they have, like the head coach and so forth, just not going anywhere. And so my question to you guys that just say, oh, he's just so talented. Listen, there were 25, 30 guys running around the country that can play like him. I know that to you guys, that sounds like that's crazy. It's true. He just happened to be at the right place at the right time to get recruited and developed and so forth.
Well,
he's
first
a
of
problem.
All,
so,
I don't
I'm
know.
Sorry, Bob, go ahead.
I mean, he's not been a problem to the point. He does bring problems to the table, Joe. I will grant you that. And that's why I raised the red flag situation. When they drafted him, they knew that there were some red flags. But sometimes you got to do that, and you try to bring the best out of a guy and watch the maturity. Now, I haven't seen it nearly, and I don't think they have either, to the point where they want to extend him. So, I mean, for now, what they can do is just play him and see where it takes him. But he has to be motivated. It's up to him, you know, what he does. I still think the talent is significant, and I don't want to just turn my back on the talent, because you need talented players to do it. Now, you also need a scheme that allows the talent to work down the field much more in terms of targets, and especially where those targets occur.
So so at like at what point? So a receiver does so much more than run routes and catch balls, right? We all know that. So at what point do the other things that he doesn't do, you say it's not worth it, right? So like, for instance, if you give me a choice, and this is going to sound like it's so elementary, but if you give me a choice between Hines Ward and you give me a choice between George Pickens, I don't even have to take a breath.
Now, different kind of players. I look at more of him, and thanks, Joe, for the call. I look at him more like Martavis Bryant. You know, he's one of those kind of guys. And Martavis had his issues. Now, he was trying, you know, once he overcame them, it was kind of too late in the proceedings for him to get and catch on. He's tried to do that. But that's, you know, if I'm George Pickens, I look at examples like that, and I say, well, look at what this guy did. You know, he had an opportunity here. He got himself in some situations that they eventually moved on from him, and it's hard to get another opportunity. This is serious stuff. If you're him, you got to make sure you just play and get rid of all the other stuff that goes on. The eye black with swear words, that's a terrible look. I wouldn't have tolerated that. You know, not running out plays. If you're asked to block and you're not really engaging in it, that's all problematic stuff. You have to play every down as if it's your last, I think. And if you're not involved in a play, and you know that going in, make people realize that you are. You can fake them in to take people with you away from where the intended target is. You know, and I want to see more of that from him. I think the talent is really significant, though, and I'm not going to look past it. I want to see what he can do. I'm willing to bring him back for this year, and that's it. And then he determines what happens next. Kevin in Chicago is up next here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bob. I'm actually on the way back to Hawaii. So,
you're the Hawaii Kevin. We have some Hawaii music, but I didn't know you threw us off for a loop here.
I'll
sing to you.
Usually I don't tell you guys where I'm calling from, but I've called you guys everywhere from Bahrain to England to Guam and Japan and Korea the last 3 years with all the work travel with the military. What was I going to say? Hey, so let me ask you a question, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but just the last conversation. Do you have any confidence at all in any way based off of the last 10 to 12 years and the problem children you've had that both started inside the organization and came in the organization and left right away and went someplace else and had success, that there's any chance that Tomlin is going to keep George in line or get him to mature and get the best out of him? Any chance at all?
I think there's a chance. I don't think it's a big chance. I think if I had to put a, you know, hopefully it's going to be more than 50-50, but right now I put it at that. And again, this falls mostly on what he's able to provide. If you go out there and play and put aside all the other crap that goes on and just play, it's up to him. He has a lot of money. He has his own future at stake here, I think. If that's not enough to motivate you, then you're not worth having around anyway.
No, I agree. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of Martavius, except he's a little more, I guess, to me, destructive than Martavius was all the time.
Well, Martavius was destructive to himself. You know, he was doing things he shouldn't have done that got him into – it wasn't like he was somebody who was deliberately going out and not running up plays and refusing to do this or that. He just – he had issues, and he had to figure them out. And unfortunately for him, we waited too long to do it.
Well, no, I agree. That's what I was saying. He wasn't destructive to the team. He was just destructive to himself.
So how would you proceed? How would you proceed with George Pickens then?
Well, first of all, his butt would have been on the bench three or four times last year and making it very clear to him that you're a part of the team. It doesn't matter if you're the best wide receiver in the league. You're a part of the team. Get over it and start acting like a professional, and that was never done. And so he knew he could run rampant, and essentially that's what he did. I think he's too far to go. I think he's too far gone to pull back in. But we'll see. I mean, hopefully you're right. You and I have had this kind of conversation three or four times in the last few years. And every time I have this conversation about, you know, average Mike T or the fact that Art's not going to do anything as far as trying to win because he's just banking the money right now as a lawyer, I always say I hope I'm 110% wrong. And unfortunately, that's not the way it's turned out.
Well, we'll see. I still think this, Kevin, and thanks for the call. I hopefully you get back. Are you going right back to Hawaii now? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I'm on a connecting flight out of D.C. back to Hawaii.
Well, safe travels to you. But I will tell you is that I still think, you know, this whole – the way the season ended more than anything was the reason why people reacted the way they did. I think if you had told people at the beginning of the year, last year, that they would somehow finish ahead of Cincinnati in the standings – second in the division, split with the Ravens, all this stuff, 10 wins, given what they were dealing with at the time. I think people might have said that's okay, short of a playoff blowout, or, you know, again, that's unacceptable. But I still think they have pieces and places here. They got to make some right choices here this year. And if they do, I think they could be in a position to – but they have to change some things. Clearly, they have to change some things. Offensively, they got to be more liberal-minded in terms of expanding playbooks and doing things down the field. I don't know if they're going to do that. I hope they do it, because I think they have some talent that you know, that could be exploited there. We'll see. 412-928-9370. Jeff, hang on. George, hang on. We'll get into you after we take a headline here. Is this your last headline of the day, Logan?
I actually don't have a headline until a few more spots, but yeah.
Okay. Well, it'll
about
be
4 minutes.
And then
yep.
I'll bid you adieu, because I know Joel Nelson is in the building.
Yes,
you can
sir.
Learn a lot from him. He's really good at what he does, too. But nice working with you today, Logan. I appreciate that, and all the best at Waynesburg University.
Thank you, Bob. Same to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with Jeff, George, and more calls until 1 o'clock, and then it's Pirate Baseball. They'll take on the Orioles. Paul Skeens will be on the mound for the Pirates. And then later today, it's Pitt trying to somehow win a game against a really good Louisville team, which has won 16 of 17. That's a 6 p.m. tip-off, 5:30 pregame, right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.